From New York City, the Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Mr. Ace and Jane, starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Tonight, Chapter 52. Jane's mother, who usually worries about all her ailments, woke up one day feeling fine. And so the day shouldn't be a total loss. She looked around for something else to complain about and found a flaw in the Ace's marriage. Tell me, Mr. Ace, what have you got against your mother-in-law?
Oh, nothing. She's a wonderful woman. The only thing I have against her is that she's living. With us, I mean. Good old Mom. She only dropped in to visit us for a week or so. That was last Thanksgiving. Now it looks like Mom is set to stay the summer. Good old Somerset Mom. Many a day she's driven me to the razor's edge. She's not so bad when she's enjoying poor health, though, because all she does is sit in her room reading her book, What to Do Till the Hearse Arrives. But on this particular morning, she got up feeling no pain at all. So get a load of what happened at the end of a very pleasant breakfast.
Do you want some more strangled eggs, dear?
No, Jane. Don't strangle any more on my account. I've got to go. I'm late. So long, Jane.
Get something. You'll be happy.
Look, Mother, just because you're feeling well today, please don't...
Please don't refer to my health. Everybody has days when they feel well. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, Mother. What did I forget?
Yes, Mother, what did he forget?
Yeah.
You're his wife, Janie, and if it's all right with you that he runs off to his office just like that, who am I to complain? After all, I'm only a stranger
here.
Oh,
sure. How stupid of me to forget. Jane?
Yes, dear?
Would you hand me my hat?
Oh, yes, you did forget it, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
Here you are, dear.
Thanks. So long, Jane. I'll see you tonight.
See you tonight, dear. Don't take in any wooden Indians.
Just like a husband, isn't he, Jane?
Yes, always forgetting his hat. Just like the absent professor. He's sweet, though.
But, Janie, don't you realize there was no goodbye kiss?
Oh, but Mother, he never kisses you.
Not me. You, Janie. He didn't kiss you goodbye.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, he didn't say goodbye. He said so long.
Oh, Janie, this is the way it always starts. I can see the handwriting on the wall. What's going to become of us? It's only a matter of time. But don't worry. You've always got me. We can find a small apartment for the two of us. Maybe one room. And if there's no steam heat, we can let the hot water run in the bathroom.
Oh, Mother.
If there is hot water.
Oh, but Mother.
If there is a bathroom. And you'll forget about him in time. Yes, let him go his way. Let him run around with chorus girls, nightclubs, expensive jewelry, champagne out of slippers. We'll still have our self-respect, Janie.
But I'd better go out with him and the chorus girls. That's fun. Caviar and shampoo. Chorus girls? He doesn't go with any chorus girls. He went to the office.
Well, if it makes you happy to think he went to the office, you'd be happy. But I still say he's not very attentive to you.
You mean he's taking me for granted?
Mm. He didn't kiss you goodbye, and it's your fault, Janie.
My fault? I didn't do anything.
Well, it's about time you did, Janie. Do you mind if I make a few suggestions?
Of course not, Mother. I want you to be suggestive.
Well, if he thought there was another man interested in you, he'd show you more attention.
Another man? Please, Mother, not that suggestive.
Oh, I don't mean there should actually be another man. But if you can make him think there is, give him something to worry about. Keep him guessing. A man likes allure, mystery, danger, enchantment, frenzy, intrigue.
Oh, Mother, I've got a 2-ounce bottle of each one of those.
But, Janie, you don't understand. You got to try jealousy.
Oh, I've got a 2-ounce bottle of that, too.
No, I mean make him jealous. Let him think another man is interested in you.
Another man? Yeah. That might be fun. Not a real man. You mean a facetious one.
Yeah.
I wonder who I can get. But we've got to make sure he doesn't find out what we're doing. Strictly entre and me, Mother.
You know me, Janie. The word is Mom.
Oh, I've got a 2-ounce bottle of that. Oh, I wonder who I can get to act like he... Oh, he came back. See, Mother, he didn't forget. Just a minute, dear. Isn't he sweet? Hello, dear...
Hello.
Oh, it's Eddie, the drugstore boy. I thought... Oh, well. What did you bring Mother today, Eddie?
What did I bring her?
Mm-hmm.
What do I bring her every day? Dope. Pills to put her asleep. Pills to keep her awake. Pills to put on weight. Pills to reduce. And a beach ball.
A beach ball?
They had a sale on beach balls, Janie.
Oh, yes. And it's a nice one. We've needed a beach ball around the house for a long time. Okay, Eddie, just charge everything and I'll... Oh, say, Eddie, you can do me a big favor.
Yeah?
Would you like to make a dollar?
Yeah.
Sit down, I'll tell you.
Yeah?
All you have to do is call me up tonight when my husband's sitting around after dinner reading the paper, about 8 o'clock sharp. You don't even have to talk. Just call me up and I'll do the talking. You get it?
No.
Well, you can call me up, can't you?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. It's just a little trick I want to play on my husband. All you have to do is call this number and ask for Jane.
Who's Jane?
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I always think of you as Mrs. Ace.
That's the point. Sure you do. So does he. Just Mrs. Ace, the good old ball and bat. Well, this will give him something to worry about, won't it, Mother?
Sure it will, Janie.
Well, how about it, Eddie? I'll give you a dollar.
Well, I did have a date to take my girl bowling. But you say all I have to do is call you up at 8 o'clock and I'm through.
That's all. Will you do it?
Yeah.
Good.
I just hope my girl don't find out I'm calling up another woman.
Well, tell her it's business. You're getting paid for it. It's just a matter of dollars and sex.
Yeah.
Well, you can see it was my mother-in-law who was responsible for this routine. Jane was absolutely blameless. Well, that night after dinner, Jane's mother was in her room darning.
Darn this radiator, it never works. Darn this mattress, it's too hard. Oh, darn this beach ball, it doesn't bounce.
Jane and I were alone in the living room. I was looking through the evening paper for a good movie to go to at one of our neighborhood picture houses. They're always so far behind in the pictures they're showing now. I finally found one that was fairly recent. Richard Barthelmess, Intolerable David. But Jane didn't want to go to a movie.
I don't want to go to a movie.
Oh, come on, Jane. I feel like having some popcorn.
Not tonight, dear. Somebody might call up.
Oh, who's going to call? Let you and I go to this
room. Oh, the telephone. Never mind, dear. Don't get up. I'll answer. Sit still. Stay where you are. It's no bother. I'm up. I'll get it. Sit still.
I never made a move.
I wonder who this can be. Hello?
Hello, is Jane there?
Well, of all people, hello.
Hello, is Jane there?
Well, how did you happen to call me up, of all people?
Well, you told me to call you up and ask for Jane.
Silly. Where have you been so long?
It's just 8 o'clock right on the nose like you told me.
Silly, you're the same old tease, aren't you?
Oh, me?
Silly.
Look, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, you shouldn't call me that.
Excuse me. I mean, look, Jane, I'm married.
Oh, now you stop that. I'm married now, you know.
I know. But you told me I should call you up and ask for Jane.
Silly. Where are you?
I'm at the bowling alley. My girl lost her shoes.
Oh, no, I'm married now. But it's nice to think you'd want me to. Where have you been keeping yourself all these years?
I've been waiting for my girl to find her shoes.
Oh, silly. You shouldn't say those things to me.
Just her shoes, that's all. We bowl every Tuesday night.
Tonight? Oh, I couldn't.
Well, how about tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night?
What am I saying?
But I'm married.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just a slip of the tongue, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, you shouldn't call me that.
Excuse me, I mean Jane.
Well, I must hang up now. My husband's looking daggers at me.
Well, don't tell him who I am. I only make a dollar on this whole deal, you know.
Silly. Goodbye.
Okay, Jane, let's go to see Tolerable David, huh?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
What?
Oh, I thought you asked me who that was on the phone.
Oh, I know who that was.
You do? Who?
That was Silly.
Yes. But the question is, who is Silly?
No comment. For the rest of that evening, Jane played coy. I played solitaire. Neither of us won. I wouldn't ask her who called, and she wouldn't tell me. The next morning, as I left for the office, I ran into Eddie, the drugstore boy, in the lobby of our apartment building, and he said to me,
"Hi, Mr. Ace. Is Mrs. Ace at home?"
And for want of something better to say, I simply replied, "Sir, you are speaking of the woman I love." And he replied,
"Oh, excuse me, I mean, is Jane at home?"
Who? I queried in amazement, and to my astonishment, he said,
"When she told me to call her up last night, she told me to call her Jane. She promised me a dollar."
He added parenthetically,
"I was just going up to see her about it."
He continued,
"When I called her up this morning about the dollar, she said she didn't want to pay it because something didn't work out right last night,"
he concluded sadly. But I reassured him, "Don't you worry, Eddie. Mrs. Ace is as good as gone, as good as gold. If she doesn't pay you that dollar, I personally will be very surprised."
"Okay, that's a deal. You see, I like to do business with a man,"
he blubbered. But all of a sudden, I got the whole picture, and I decided that if Jane wanted to play coy, we'd play it two-handed. So I went back into the apartment building and went up to see our next-door neighbor, Anthony Marshall. Tony is the author, you know. He's written hundreds of love stories, so when I explained to him that I wanted him to go in and make a big play for Jane, he readily understood what I meant.
"I don't get it, Mr. Ace."
It's very simple, Tony. You see, she's trying to make me jealous, and I want to turn the tables on her. Now, you go in and tell her you've been madly in love with her, and I'll come in and surprise the two of you. That'll give her something to worry about, you see?
"Oh, that sounds like fun."
"Yeah.
You want me to play one of those dramatic love scenes, like the plot of my last book, which I stole from Camille."
"Look, Schlemiel, just make her believe you've been in love with her for years, and then I'll walk in and play the outraged husband."
"Oh, be glad to do it, Mr. Ace. I'll go right in and sweep her off her feet."
"Okay, Broom. You go in, and I'll wait here. I'll give you 5 minutes. Music cue."
"Hello, Tony. Long face, no see."
"Jane, are you alone?"
"Well, except for you, yes."
"Jane, I must speak to you. I'm in love."
"Well, congratulations. Who is she?"
She's a girl who has a husband."
"Well, congratulations. Who are they?"
It's you, Jane."
"Well, does she love you? And why don't you both go to her husband and tell..." "Me?"
"Yes, Jane, you."
"Me?"
"Yes, Jane, you."
"Me?"
"Yes, Jane."
"Oh, this is getting us nowhere. Tony, you can't mean me."
"But I do mean you, Jane."
"But, Tony, how about my husband?"
"I don't love him, Jane. I love you."
"Tony, I love him."
"And I love you."
"You see, that doesn't come out right. There's one person left hanging over."
"Oh, come to my arms, Jane."
"No.
This is where you belong."
"No, Tony, you mustn't."
"I love you, Jane. Don't struggle against me."
"Tony, you mustn't."
"Mustn't what?"
"Mustn't my hair."
"Oh, Jane, please hear me out. Since first I saw you, your face has always been before me. The proud little way you hold your head. Yes, that's it, Jane. The way you smile with your eyes aglow. Yes, just like that, Jane. And the way you walk, erect and full of the joy of living. Oh, wait, Jane, don't go away. Please come back."
"I wasn't going away. I was just walking like you said I do."
"Please hear me out, Jane."
"Yes, go on. Erect and full of the joy of living. Go on."
"Then you do care, Jane. Just a little."
"Oh, well, I'd like to hear it. Any girl likes to hear what a fellow thinks of her."
"Ah, then you do. You will. You can. You are."
What was the question again?
"Jane, if you won't have me, I'll go away forever."
"Oh, no, Tony, you don't have to go away."
"Before I go, Jane, may I May I make one last request?
No, please, now, Tony, don't ask me.
Oh, please, Jane.
No, no, don't ask me, Tony.
May I shake your hand?
Tony, no, shake my hand.
That's all, Jane.
Oh, I thought you were going. Well, yeah, I guess you can. All right, yes. Get a person all excited, and then it's only to shake hands. Okay, Tony, here's my hand.
Oh, thank you, Jane. I'll treasure this moment forever.
Uh-huh. Just as I thought.
Dear, what are you doing back home?
Turn my back and you're shaking hands, huh?
Tony, please let go of my hand.
Oh, please, Jane. My last request before I leave forever.
So this is how things are around here. Well, I know when I'm not wanted, I'm leading forever.
Another one. Where's everybody going? Dear, come back here.
Oh, let him stay, Jane. I'll leave.
Oh, no, old man. You stay. I'll leave.
Oh, no, you stay. I'll leave her.
No, no, I'll leave her.
No, I'll...
No, no, you can have her.
Oh, boys, please don't fight over me.
Well, Jane, this then is goodbye.
Oh, then goodbye.
Yes, Jane, this is goodbye.
Not you, dear.
Where are you going, Tony?
Oh, I don't know. Join the Foreign Legion, I suppose.
Foreign Legion? Good. I'll give you a lift as far as 47th Street.
Come, fellow.
While Anthony Marshall and Mr. Ace are on the road to Morocco, El Morocco, that is, I have an important message I'd like to read. When a disaster strikes a community, who is the first to the rescue? Volunteers of the American National Red Cross, of course. Disaster service is one of the biggest parts of the big job your Red Cross has to do. Last year, for instance, more than $12 million was allocated by the Red Cross for relief and rehabilitation of victims on major disasters. Funds allotted to disaster relief were depleted by this great cost. One of the goals of the current Red Cross drive is to replenish these funds to meet new emergencies. Give to the Red Cross. It's your Red Cross. It has a big job ahead. You can help get the job done through your Red Cross.
Well, all that morning, Jane tried to call me at the office, but I told my secretary, Sally Anderson, to tell her I was out. Oh, besides being my secretary, Miss Anderson is Jane's cousin on her mother's side. That's the side on which she doesn't have neuritis. And when I refused to take the calls from Jane, this worried Miss Anderson quite a bit.
I don't understand what's going on around here. What's this Jane told me about you joining the American Legion?
Well, I wanted to throw those bags full of water out of the window. No, 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 not the American Legion. It's the Foreign Legion. Look, Miss Anderson, go back to your desk out there and you mind your business and I'll mind mine, huh?
That's what I want to know. What kind of a business is this that a cute little blonde comes up to my desk outside there and tells me she wants to see you?
Who is she?
Well, that's it. She wouldn't tell me.
Well, send her in.
Her you'll talk to, but not your wife.
Send her in, will you?
Yes, sir. Would you come in here, please?
You may go now, Miss Anderson. You wanted to see me, Miss...
Are you Mr. Ace?
Yes, I am. What did you want to see me about? Miss Anderson, this is no time to do your filing. You may go now and close the door. Now, miss, you were saying...
Oh, well, I came to see about...
Just a minute, please. Miss Anderson, I wanted you to close the door with you on the other side. Please.
What's going on around here?
Thank you. Sorry, miss. Now, what did you say you wanted to see me about?
I'm engaged.
Well, congratulations. Anyone you know?
I'm engaged to Eddie.
Oh, Eddie, yes. Eddie who?
Eddie from the drugstore. Do you know him?
Well, just to say goodbye to. So, what is your problem? Step a little closer to the microphone. I say, what's on your mind?
Mr. Ray, for the past 3.5 months, I have given Eddie the best Saturday nights of my life. It has been a gay, mad, intoxicating soiree. Our eyes meeting across a glass of orange juice at Needick's. Our thumbs touching as he passed me the ball at the bowling alley. Our fingers entwined in a box of popcorn at the Metropolitan. Lowe's Metropolitan. And finally, those intimate evenings in the parlor at home. two cigars in the dark. Eddie's and my father's. That's the way it was.
Well, I hope the three of you will be very happy.
We might have been, but it's all over. You know why?
You ran out of cigars.
No.
Orange juice?
No.
Popcorn?
No.
Anyone else? Orange juice? Popcorn? What am I doing?
How shall I put it, Mr. Ace? Eddie has been calling up your wife.
You put it very nicely. And I know. Yes, I know but too well, and after all, we've been to each other, too. It was a gay, mad, intoxicating soiree. We were together at the most romantic places. Monte Cristo, Monte Carlo, Monte Blue. Pheasant under glass at Lady Cavendish. Pressed duck with Lady Mendel. Pancake with Lady Esther. And now, it's all over.
Eddie? I love Eddie. I guess I'll always love him. They say time heals all wounds. But I'll never find any boy to take Eddie's place. What are you doing tonight?
Tonight? Well, tonight I thought I'd go home and take a hot bath. 3 nose drops in each nostril and a mustard plaster on my chest. I feel a cold coming on. Why?
Gee, you're cute.
What good is cute? My life is over, after
Mr.
all.
Mr. Ace.
Oh, Mr. Norris.
On this automobile advertising layout, I don't believe this picture of the car does it full justice, and
Mr. Norris, may I present Mr.
Miss Gilbert.
Miss Gilbert, this is my boss, Mr. Norris.
Likewise.
How do you do? I didn't realize you had company, Mr. Ace. And such charming company.
Yes. And now, Mr. Norris, what about this automobile layout? What is it you don't like? The chassis?
Oh, yes, the automobile, yes. The chassis, no, not bad. Not bad at all.
Well, Mr. Norris, what is it you didn't like? The lines bother you?
Yes, the lines. They bother me a bit.
Well, how about the rest of the accessories?
Oh, wonderful. Very nice.
Mr. Norris, what's wrong with this automobile?
Oh, yes,
automobile.
Yeah. Well, it's the convertible top. I don't believe you've quite brought it out. It should be sort of blonde.
Blonde?
Upsweet.
Upsweet.
No. I mean...
I guess you gentlemen have business to talk over.
Yes, we have, miss. I'm sorry we're kind of busy, but don't you worry your little twisted mind about Eddie. I'll fix it all up. Goodbye.
I'll be toddling along.
Oh, we're toddling so soon, Miss Gilbert. And let me toddle you to the elevator. Won't you take my arm?
Gee, you're cute.
I think you're cute, too.
Remember me? I'm cute, too.
Now, tell me, Miss Gilbert, what is this about Eddie?
Well, Mr. Norris, it was a gay, mad, intoxicating soiree.
Gee, she used to think I was cute, too. And after I gave her the best 5 minutes of my life. Oh, well. Miss Anderson?
Yeah?
Call Jane and tell her I'm coming home and tell her to be prepared for a gay, mad, intoxicating soiree.
A what?
A hot bath and a mustard plaster. I think I'm coming down with a cold.
It's about time you got home. Where have you been all day? Why didn't you answer the phone when I called you?
I've been at the office all day working.
That's a likely story.
Oh, you don't think so, Mother, huh? What do you think I was?
Well, I have my suspicions, but I won't tell them because I don't want to be a bother. Because if I'm going to be a bother...
All right, then don't be a bother. I'll tell you. A cute little blonde came into my office. We were having a private little talk in my private office without my private secretary. And she thought I was cute. and she asked me what I was doing tonight. We were having a gay, mad, intoxicating soiree. What do you think of that?
Oh, you and your stories. What an imagination.
Well, Mother, which side are you on?
Don't you believe him, Janie. He's just trying to make you jealous.
Oh, you want to make me jealous, but when I want to make you jealous, you don't even ask who it was on the phone.
I don't care who it was, Jane. I trust you.
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
No.
Well, I won't tell you stories about blondes. Who are you trying to kid?
Look, Oh, wait just a minute. I'll answer this phone. Hello?
Oh, this is Eddie.
So what? What do you want?
Well, you told me I should call you if Jane didn't pay me the dollar.
Well, I'm not going to pay... Oh. Silly. Where you been all this time?
I've been at the movies with my girl. I'm calling you from the lobby. While she's looking under the seats for her shoes.
Oh, Sally, I couldn't tonight.
Well, how about tomorrow night?
Sally, not tomorrow night. I'm a married man.
Mother, it is a girl.
I knew you couldn't trust him.
Dear, hang up on her.
Hello?
Just a minute, Sally. So you don't trust me, huh, Jane? Okay, then you talk on the phone.
I sure will, and I'll give her my peace of mind.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is it?
This is Eddie.
Well, let me tell you something. You keep away from my Eddie?
Yeah, is that you, Jane?
Yes.
How about that dollar you promised me?
Oh, it's Eddie. I'm sorry I doubted you, dear.
I hope so. Let me talk to him. Hello, Eddie. Come right over and I'll give you the dollar.
Well, I can't come right now. I told you, my girl is inside looking for her shoes.
Well, how long will that take?
Oh, not long. Her uncle is helping her.
Her uncle?
Yeah. Mr. Norris.
Mr. Norris. Oh, no. Goodbye, Eddie. Well, Jane, I hope you're satisfied now.
Oh, dear. Forgive me, will you, dear? I'm sorry.
I don't know, Janie. There's something peculiar here. Let's hear that story about the blonde again.
Okay. Oh, Mother, there was no blonde. It was Eddie. You were just trying to make me jealous, weren't you, dear?
Yeah, that's all, Jane. And after this, Mother, I wish you wouldn't accuse me of running around.
Oh, well, somebody's at the door. Excuse me, dear. I owe you a big kiss for not trusting
okay.
you. I'll give it to you as soon as I am.
Hello, Jane.
Oh, hello, Sally. Come in. It's Sally Anderson, dear.
Yeah? What do you want, Miss Anderson?
You know that little blonde who was in your office this afternoon?
Blonde? What blonde?
Oh, Sally, he just said that to make me jealous because I made him jealous. That blonde is just a pigment of his imagination.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Thanks, Jane. Just a pigment of my imagination.
Yeah. Well, that blonde pigment left her shoes in your office this afternoon, and here they
are. She's always losing her shoes. Isn't that cute? Isn't that awful?
In just a moment, the Aces will be back with the title of next week's Chapter 53. Jack Benny's on CBS twice this week. Friday night on most of these same stations, you'll hear Jack as the star of the Ford Theater production of The Horn Blows at Midnight, a role which the Waukegan Barrymore created in the motion pictures. Sunday night, you'll hear him again on his regular CBS show, or as much as you'll be able to hear while Mary, Phil, Dennis, Don, and Rochester discuss his venture into the realms of the dramatic. And now, Mr. Ace, what is the title of next week's Chapter 53?
Well, being in the advertising business, I find it necessary now and then to bring home a stubborn client to dinner. And after a home-cooked meal by Jane, I get him to sign on a dotted line. Because the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, isn't it, Jane?
Yes, but it's such a messy way, isn't it,
yes,
dear?
Yes, it is. Good night.
Me too.
The script of Mr. Ace and Jane is written by Goodman Ace. Original music conducted by Howard Smith. In the supporting cast were Betty Gard as Jane's mother, Arnold Stang as Eddie, Ruth Gilbert as his girl, Eric Dressler as Mr. Norris, Barry Thompson as Tony Marshall, Florence Robinson as Miss Anderson, and this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear Mr. Ace and Jane next week at this same time over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Thank you.